CliffCentral.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. Somebody sent me a note yesterday to say they love the way that we start the show with all of those stupid waking up noises, because they feel like they also make them irritating and sometimes a little bit embarrassing noises when they wake up. So they said,
join the club.
Yeah, they said, well, you know, at least you guys are honest about it, and you get on the air and you're like, whatever noises it is that you make. And we do. We make lots of weird noises on this show. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah.
You made it to Friday. You did it. And it's almost the end of February. I mean, by, you know, next week, we're into March. It's insane.
You did it, Joe.
You did it, Joe.
You made it to the end of
you
Friday.
You made it, Joe. You did it, Joe.
You did it, Joe.
How does she...
Oh, yeah.
Are we talking about Kamala Harris's voice?
Yes.
She's got such a beautiful voice, doesn't she?
You did it, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta be the next president of the United States.
Yeah, did it, Joe.
And have you heard him? He's like... He mumbles on every second word. It's really good to be... Yaki, what? What did you say, Joe? I'm proud to be president of the United States. What? Okay.
Probably yesterday's medication kicking in today.
Oh, you better watch
out. The only person I haven't really heard speak is the second gentleman. I haven't.
No. He knows.
Not that I have made a concerted effort,
no,
but
I haven't heard him. He knows to shut his mouth. He knows nobody appointed him. No one elected him. He better shut up.
Oh, we've heard from Dr. Jill at this point.
Oh, yeah, no. She has to cover for you know, Joe when he talks shit. Anyway, you better watch out, Sia. When we talk like this, you know what happens. People go, oh, they're definitely Trump supporters. You know, you can't say anything negative about Biden without someone calling you a Trump supporter. And you can't say anything positive about Donald Trump without them saying the same. And obviously,
I'm an equal lover and an equal hater.
Ach, listen, you know, people have lost their minds. So yesterday, I'm so goddamn sick of social media. Yesterday, you will have seen the show if you watched our TV show on Wednesday night. So what now? There was a moment where I asked our panel, why is it that you think that Jacob Zuma, I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember the exact words, but I said something like, why is it you think that he clicks his fingers and all his puppies come to visit him whenever he wants them? You know, like he pulls the leash and then they're all suddenly there.
Mm-hmm.
And I meant Julius, I meant Becky Taylor, I meant assholes like Carl Niehaus and the rest. So what happens? Oh, just another excuse to label Gareth some kind of racist. Now, I don't know how this works. Because, I mean, I've been called everything under the sun at this stage, and it's getting a little bit tiring, especially when I don't wake up in the morning with malice for anyone, including Jacob Zuma. I've said on this show, God knows, I cannot count the number of times I've said to people that he's the wiliest, most cunning, most brilliant politician in South Africa. I've complimented the man left, right, and center. I've told the story about how he phoned me once. But suddenly, you know, suddenly I'm the world's biggest anti-Jacob Zuma racist. Anyway, I'm fairly sure.
Well, and geez, dare I remind you, I think it was a week ago or two, you said you actually miss him.
Exactly. So I don't know whether, and I've said a number of times, I almost prefer him to Cyril Ramaphosa in certain situations, you know? But forget about that, because, you know, there's a paid contingent of people. They must be paid tiny money, but they really earn, they work hard to earn it because they can't possibly find work anywhere else. And for a little while, I mean, it was only like 10 tweets or whatever, but there were a few of these people who were agitating. Oh, you know, Gareth Cliff is this racist. And after last weekend and all that shit, I was like, you know, really, I'm just so over this stuff. It's so boring now. It's like, come on, guys, we've got to have something else to talk about.
Come on, man.
You know, how can Gareth Cliff, come on, man, like, Joe, come on, man. It's like, how can Gareth compare black people to puppies? I'm like, it wasn't black people, and it wasn't, there's this adage of like a dog on a leash or puppies that come when you call them. And that's what I was getting at. If you've got an issue with that, why don't you ask former President Jacob Zuma why he can click his fingers and these people do come running, and why that kind of metaphor might be used best. But no, it's got to be about me. I'm so goddamn tired of it. I really am. I actually want to stop doing media, all media, TV show, this show, everything. When I, you know, it's enough already. It's like, I just want to get on with
it. I get the fact that it is frustrating, but also in the context of yesterday, people were just,
they were climbing into this
uproar.
Yeah. There was this reporter. And maybe it was just because of the context of that, you know, maybe it had nothing to do with me at all. I was just in the crossfire. I'm willing to accept. Mm. That would be a relief, actually. There was a reporter, a woman called Lindsay Detlinger, I think is her name. And I forgot her name. Yeah, she was asking questions after the budget speech of Tito's. And it seems like she was perfectly okay with having the Vryheidsfront Plus guy, Groenewald. I can never remember his... Is it Groenewald?
Can't remember.
I can never remember the guy's name. Uh-oh, that might make me a racist. Who knows? So he was busy answering questions, and he was, you know, the president, the finance minister's budget speech, blah, 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 blah. Didn't have a mask on. Then John Steenhuisen came up from the DA, and he answered some questions about the budget, and he went, blah, 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 and didn't have a mask on. And then... a dude from one of the other parties, again, I wouldn't know which party he was from or whatever. He comes up, but he's black, and she says to him, can you put your mask on? And I was like, okay, that is kind of weird. There's something that is a bit strange. And maybe she wasn't thinking of it at all. I'm 1,000% sure that if she'd known there'd be this reaction, she would have either asked all three of them to put on their masks, or she would have asked none of them to put on their masks. But the fact that she did, in retrospect, it can't possibly indicate that she's a horrible racist who wanted to make the black guy put on his mask and not the white people. But you know how it looks, right? So she was dealing with that yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't even know what it all means.
And people were calling,
but it just doesn't look good.
And people were calling ENCA racist. And I mean, it's like... There's just a group of people who cannot wait to get upset every day. Now, I don't know this reporter at all. I mean, we don't know her soul. We don't know her heart. We don't know what kind of a person she is. I mean, I don't think she's a member of the Avia Beer. I'm fairly convinced that she's not that, you know, or she would never have got the job in the first place. And if she's been reporting from all over the country or from all parts of Cape Town or wherever she's based, for this long, and this is the first one, it is weird. I get that, and I get how it looks, and I can get how people would go, hey, hang on. And you call her out, and you're like, why did you have a double standard there? That would be fine. But to like immediately climb on that old bandwagon, the wheels of which, by the way, are starting to get so worn down that the cart's about to break. You know, that old bandwagon of racism. It's just such a weak argument in this case. In this case, ask her, why do you have a double standard? Why do you ask the one guy not to put on his mask and the other two not? Ask her that. And then she can go, oh, look, I know how it looks, but, and try and offer an explanation. I don't know if she's even tried or if ENCA are going to take action against her or whatever. But I'm pretty sure that she is not secretly the grand wizard of the KKK. Do you know what I mean?
You know, when I'm I saw sure that, it I'm sure happened
she's
once,
not, I'm sure she's I not thought, planning the next big genocide, or she's like, she's busy working out how to make a better apartheid regime in her spare time. You know,
you know when I stopped speaking on behalf of people, when I was speaking for then a Bruce Jenner going, tabloids are lying, and cut to 8 months later, there she is with Boobage on the cover of Vanity Fair. You never know.
My God, Sia. So you've just reminded me of something that is probably one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen on the internet. It's like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Just remind me. I'll get back to this in a second. I've got to explain to people. Leanne is meant to be joining us this morning. I don't know where she is, though. It could be her phone that's batteries died or whatever. You know what Leanne's
like. Sleeping in.
Yeah, you never know with her. So if she joins us later on, don't be surprised. Anyway, so I watched. This is so funny. I was on the internet. God alone knows how. You know, the algorithm figures out what sort of stuff you're watching. And I don't know where this came from because I've never watched any Kardashian or Jenner shit in my life. So maybe it's just because it was hugely popular and it gets to the top of the queue. And it was. It had millions of views because it was entertaining. But one of the... Who's the one with the makeup company? Is it Kendall or Kylie or what's it?
Kylie.
Kylie, okay. Kylie did her dad's makeup for the first time. And Caitlyn is like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to do my makeup. And Kylie's like, yeah, dad, let me do your makeup. Or mom or whatever. I don't even know what she called it. Anyway, it was very entertaining because you got... I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there on my phone. And I'm going, why am I watching this? But I was mesmerized. I was like, this is so peak 2021. Is Kylie Jenner, who's just short. I think she was a billionaire, and then, you know, some of that money isn't there anymore because of the you know, economic downturn and all the rest. So she's not quite a billionaire anymore. But she's done really well. I mean, she's got a very successful business. And Caitlin is like, I remember when you were a little girl and you said that you wanted to become a great big makeup artist and have your own company. And I was like,
but
wow.
Isn't it funny and great how we've moved on as society? We don't even bat an eyelid to Caitlin anymore. Did we even bring her up?
It's so funny. It's still really entertaining. And I don't mean to be cruel, but Caitlin has to get the voice. She has to make more of an effort with that voice of hers now because it's all over the place. And, you know, I'm really doing my best to get the pronouns right and all of that stuff. And, you know, I'm not one of those people who could care less whether Caitlyn Jenner wants to be into guys or girls or do whatever she wants to do. And I'm really trying to be, you know, a modern person because I think it's backward and stupid if you are, if you for some reason are, you know, discriminating or horrible about transgender people. They got to live their lives. And who the hell are you to get in their way? She needs to do her part in terms of like at least getting the voice a little bit right, you know. Like she's not even trying there. She's like, like a deeper voice than me most of the time.
I don't even want to talk about Caitlin anymore. She's just so, she's like 3 years ago now.
No, but just watch that YouTube video. It's really funny. Just to see.
They don't even put her on the Kardashian show anymore. No, they don't even talk about her.
They almost pretend she doesn't exist. But then apparently that show's finishing now. There isn't a... They're canning it, right?
I think the next few weeks, the final season will air on E! And then later this year / early next year, we'll get to see the new iteration of what their show will be.
Okay. So they're just,
are they building up the drama?
They're relaunching basically. Well, I mean, they've got new.
I can already taste it in my mouth, the level of just salacious nonsense that they're preparing, but I'm ready to gobble it up. The latest report I saw this week about Kim and Kanye, and at first it was such a long Daily Mail article that I thought, whatever, I'm just going to read the first paragraph. Well, cut to like 3 minutes later, I was in there looking at the title deed of the land of their property.
See, what happened to you? What happened to you there was what happened to me with the Caitlyn makeup video. I'm not proud of it. Me neither. And I was almost embarrassed to even bring it up on the show this morning. But I thought, you know, we all end up being sucked down the rabbit hole of stupid videos. And this was definitely one of the more weird things I've seen in my life. But it was so entertaining.
Yeah. Now it's a thing of where Kim and Kanye used to live, where the family still largely lives. Kim bought the land.
Yeah.
And Kanye paid for the construction of the house. So now the latest thing in the divorce is who's going to get what.
Yeah.
And supposedly Kim doesn't care. She can just bash the whole house down and she'll keep the land. Like, you know, Kanye can't exactly say, no, it's my house, I'm going to take
but
it.
I always wonder, who are these people? Like, you often hear, like, an insider tells the Daily Mail X, Y, and Z. I always wonder, like, who are these people who are supposedly their friends or, you know, someone who knows them well, who runs to the press and tells them, yeah, they're fighting over the land and the construction. Like, who knows that stuff? Who's privy to those conversations and then runs to the newspaper? Or are the newspaper just saying that they've got a source, but most of it is speculation? Like, where does that
come
from?
Well, I think with the Kardashians, it's probably Chris who's sending things out to the papers
Hey, no, you're right. But Sia, here's the thing is, like, even that Ted Cruz story, you know, Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, he during the big Texas freeze. Anyways, constituents went crazy because they wanted a politician to do politician things and be there for photo ops and hand out, like, I don't know, packages of water and food to people who were freezing or whatever it was, because there was a crisis going on. And it does kind of matter in some ways that politicians are seen. I get that, but we spoke about it earlier this week. The point is, Ted Cruz's wife sent out an invite to a group of her friends. They're obviously on a WhatsApp group together. And she's like, hey, guys, we're all going to Cancun. The rooms are really cheap at the moment because no one's traveling. If you want to come along, here are the details. One of those women on that group with Ted Cruz's wife, she sent screenshots of that to the New York Times. Now,
I'm not surprised.
Isn't that an asshole thing to do? I mean, if you're on a group with people and you're supposedly all friends and you see, like, she's actually doing a kind thing. She's like, hey, we're going to this place. If you want to come because you're our friends, we'd love to have you there. Then it's $300 a night or whatever it is. And hear the details. And then you screenshot that. And the first thing you think is, I'm going to send this to the New York Times.
I'm not condoning it.
I hope not.
But I get how that happens.
So what's the motivation there?
Gareth, I have worked in HR for 18 years. I have 3 kids, a dog, and my life has sort of been a bit of a, you know, plain straight trajectory.
Yeah.
Now I get to be on a New York Times byline. I get to be called up by the Today Show.
She wanted to remain anonymous.
Oh, then maybe I just secretly hate them or I'm secretly envious, so let me ruin their lives.
So in other words, it's motivated by horrible things. You're not a good person.
People do things.
Yeah, but you can't be, you're not a good person if you do that to your friends. Like if I did that to one of my friends, I wouldn't be surprised if they never wanted to talk to me again. And poor Mrs. Cruz, whoever she is, if I were her, I would go through that list of people and I would phone up every one of them and make them explain. Even if they were innocent of it, I'd say, all right, prove it to me. Prove to me it wasn't you. I'd find a way. Because that is such a betrayal. For no good reason, right? No good reason. I mean, Tracy says, yeah, just ask Margaret van Wijk. Remember from the hockey group when she was on there and she put her nudes on and then some friend passed them around and screenshotted them. It's just so horrible. I mean, to do that is just so bad. Ruth says,
You can't trust people.
No, you can't, clearly. But it's amazing. It's like, you know, the Kim and Kanye thing just got me thinking about that. Because here they are. They might be figuring out the details of their divorce. And like some newspaper somewhere has supposedly got information that the rest of us don't, or that Kim and Kanye wouldn't have volunteered for them. And it's going around. It's just always driven me mad. You know, royal insiders say that Princess Anne definitely prefers the company of horses. And you're like, really? How would you even know that? I mean, it's fairly clear with Princess Anne that she does prefer the company of horses. And I don't mean any romantic way. I just don't think she likes people very much. But you don't go and like pretend that someone inside has given you secret information about how much Princess Anne prefers animals to people and like write a whole article about that, unless you're just a bullshit artist. Anyway, Ruth says it's Purim, which is the Jewish carnival today. It's such fun usually, but COVID has decimated celebrations this year. But we had a party on the internet last night. Yeah, these internet parties are so lame.
I haven't been able to get into it. I can't.
No. Remember when we were all on that house party app right at the beginning of lockdown last year? That's a whole year ago. And we all thought, oh, this could be fun. Well, that lasted about a month.
Is Purim the equivalent or sort of like Halloween, right?
I don't know about Purim. I know about Yom Kippur, and I know about Rosh Hashanah, and I know about, what's the other one that I know about?
Hanukkah, specifically.
But I don't know this one. And Purim is not one of those that I'm well-versed in. Maybe Ruth can tell you the origins of it, because she would know.
I ask very specifically because still years later, I can't get the picture of Michael Flax in like an adult diaper and a pacifier. Like he dressed up as a baby for something and he was like, oh, no, it's a religious holiday. I'm thinking, no.
Like Jewish Halloween. That's hilarious. Brendan says, morning, guys. Is it just me or is it getting more difficult to wake up every day? Alarm goes off and then I feel like snoozing a bit longer. Oh, no, Brendan. You know what it is, right? It's because the height of summer is over. We're into the downhill into autumn now. And because that starts happening, I think we are essentially photoresponsive when it comes to waking up and going to sleep. Because even though I have a pretty good body clock, like I most mornings I wake up before my alarm. There are some mornings where I don't, and like anybody, you oversleep. And you guys know that if you've listened to the show for a while, because there have been those mornings where I'm late. Less under lockdown, I've got to say, than when we were in the studio, just because the studio is right across the, you know, passage from my room. But
yes,
so it's a lot easier to get there. But I do, Brendan, I know exactly what you mean. Winter comes along and you don't want to get out of bed. You're in no hurry to do that. So that's probably what it is. And we do respond to the light outside more than we do to an actual time. You know, we don't have daylight savings time in South Africa, so our clock doesn't move. Here's an answer for you. Purim is fun celebrations in a way. Have a Google seer. Purim is in Israel is quite a big deal. In 347 BCE, before Xerxes and the Persians, that's when the Purim festival comes from. Okay. So, I mean, that's a better explanation than I would have given, Ruth. So thanks for that. A few comments on what we were talking about earlier. CZ says that we all know the master insider is Chris herself. So agreeing with Sia there that Chris is the real puppeteer in the Kardashian family. Has Caitlin got a boyfriend or something, says Carol. Sorry, last time I even paid attention was 10 years ago.
She's dated girls.
Oh.
And so Caitlin has had girlfriends. Okay. Yes. I think, I don't know, she has a girlfriend now.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm not going down that road anymore.
Jumin says, I can't remember a day, not even one, even at parties, a school or church, that racism was not a topic in some form. I think we all have a sickness. An illness. Sometimes feels like that because it's not something I'm thinking about all the time, you know. Honestly, I don't consider it to be terribly important. But it's for some people it's their whole raison d'être. There we go, Sia, there's your thing for the day. Raison d'être.
Ooh.
Which means reason to exist. And
I shall note it down.
Someone like a great wartime leader's raison d'être is to help their nation through a difficult war. That's their whole raison d'être. So for some people, that is what they live for, is to talk about racism and politics and oppression and suffering, and they just love that. And you know, if you are that kind of person and you manage to listen to this show and you don't kill yourself, well, then I'm thrilled, because we don't go there.
I'm just,
Do we even talk about it much on this show? I don't think we do.
I see it as small victories when I don't even engage or don't let it bother me. Yesterday, I saw, you know, well, ENCA was trending and then escalated to ENCA must fall. I switched, just closed my Twitter up, put my Adele on. I got my night serum on, called it a day.
Well,
but you just can't be engaging on all of these things all the time.
You can't. Exciting. Today, we're going to hear from Anthea Gardner later on. I'm very excited to have her back on the show. We're going to have the triumphal return of Anthea this morning. You can ask her any questions you want to about everything. I mean, it's such a good time to ask because it's for most of us financial year end. So you got to get your financial and tax affairs in order. There are ways to save money. There are ways to pay less tax. And Anthea might be able to give us some advice in that respect in terms of investments and savings, which is really what she does. To give you a quick refresher course, and because we have so many people who listening to the show now that weren't listening 2 years ago, you know, the show's grown. People might not know who people might not know who Anthea is. Anthea used to do the Money Shot with us, which was a daily finance feature. It eventually went to a week, once a week, where she would tell us what was going on in the JSE. She'd tell us what was going on in the macro economy. She would tell us what kinds of asset classes were most popular. And, you know, in combination with Sean Sanders, we could pretty much cover 90% of the stuff if Anthea is there as well. So she's not making a return for any permanent feature, but she is going to rejoin us this morning, which I'm actually damn excited about. Okay.
And Anthea's very Anthea-ish. It was good to get a peek into her life again. She goes, okay, I'm going to talk to you guys just after I've come back from swimming, but just before my first meeting. And I thought, yeah, this is Anthea.
Yeah, she's great. I've missed her. All right, so let's go to a couple of headlines. It is just after 5:30, and it's time for us to check in on things. So first of all, the Nasrec Field Hospital is to close. Surprise, surprise. This hospital's hardly been used. They say that it will no longer be of use as of next week. Very good sign. We should all be very pleased about this. It means, obviously, that they have decided that the danger posed is no longer so significant that they need to keep this hospital going. They're decommissioning it, and the MEC for Health in Gauteng, Nomathemba Mokgethi, says that scientific and statistical evidence shows there is no reason to keep it open. 500-bed isolation and quarantine site. Department says the equipment from the hospital will be used in other healthcare facilities. But notice they're not telling us how many people they put through there. You know, normally if you'd set up a field hospital, you would say, well, thank God we put up this field hospital, which has cost the taxpayer millions and millions of rands, because there were 20,000 people who were processed through it. Of course, they're not telling us because there weren't even a statistically relevant number of people who passed through the Nasrec Field Hospital, which is an embarrassment, an overreaction. It was like what Andrew Cuomo did in New York. You know, he set up a whole bunch of hospitals that they didn't need, supposedly, including that ship which Donald Trump sent him, so they could deal with all of the huge, huge overflow of people.
Did you see any news coverage of any patients at the field hospital? I don't think that would be quite a news story. We want to see the visuals of someone being rolled up there.
And you see, I hate conspiracy theorists, especially recently, because if you buy into conspiracy theories, there is a cost to your credibility, and there is danger posed to, you know, in the case of like the Capitol riots, that insurrection, the rebellion that we saw at the Capitol in the US, in Washington, D.C. Those are like they all claim to be QAnon supporters. And that's a huge conspiracy theory, too. Now, if you're not going to be honest about things like the field hospital, guess what? That makes people into conspiracy theorists. Because they go, well, why are they not giving us info? I'm reading this story now, and it's maybe 5 lines. I read you the whole story. There's nothing else on that page. That's all they're telling us, which means there is not a lot of information, which means it was a real fuck up. It was a waste of money. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, well, better safe than sorry. Sure. But if that's your attitude, you could end up wasting hundreds of millions, if not billions, making bad decisions as a government. And then saying, oh, well, better safe than sorry afterwards. You know what I mean?
The only way to justify it. Mm.
Anyway, a dude called Mark Sachs has detailed how the 80 million rand that was paid to the ANC came about. This is an interesting story. Forensic investigator Mark Sachs said, Oswell Mashaba, we talked about this briefly yesterday in the Burning Platform, told his firm as soon as Swifambo, that's the company, had signed a 3.5 billion rand locomotives deal, two people approached him demanding 80 million rand for the ANC. See, this is how it works, everybody. If you've been laboring under the misconception that we live in an honest place where politicians do honest things and where people, the ordinary people, you and me, who need to use trains to get from A to B. I don't use trains, but there are a lot of people in this country who need those trains. Otherwise, they don't get to work in the morning. This company, Swifambo, was awarded a 3.5 billion rand deal to make locomotives. And then what happened? Someone pitches at the door the next day after they get the tender. It's like, hey, payback time. It's time for us to get our little kickback. So he had to give 80 million to the ANC. See how it's like, we give you the tender, but you give us some money back so we can pay for our election campaigns. Speaking at the State Capture Commission on Thursday, Sachs said Mashaba had stated that he paid the money, but he was not sure if the money reached the party. 80 million rand, you're not sure whether it reached the party or not. Who works like this? His commission for the payment was 8 million rand. Shortly after leasing was awarded the tender by Prasa, Mashaba and Mabunda were approached by two individuals, Maria Gomez and attorney George Sabelo, who said they were fundraisers for the ANC. Well, let me tell you, if anyone pitches up at your house and her name is Maria Gomez or George Sabelo, you just tell them to get the hell out of there. Sachs said Mashaba stated he had secured 88 million rand, 80 million for the ANC and 8 million rand for himself. Everybody get paid. It's like the Oprah Winfrey show. You'll get some millions. You're going to get some millions. Everybody's going to get some millions. And guess who gets screwed?
Must be nice.
The taxpayers. So this Mark Sachs has got a few questions to answer. And he's seemingly being asked those questions by Judge Zondo. This Judge Zondo must be so disappointed in South Africa. Can you imagine how he goes to sleep at night going, ugh?
Must be so exhausted.
Poor guy. Tiger Woods has been transferred to Los Angeles Hospital for further treatment. I feel so sorry for this guy. You know, the story of his life should be the greatest golfer that ever lived, or at least in the top three. Because I don't know much about golf, but people who do have said to me, he's not necessarily in everybody's book the number one guy, but he's done an enormous amount for golf. And, you know, big fans of his like Ben or like Mbulelo or any of those people will say to you, oh no, you need to know Tiger Woods is right up there. But the story of Tiger Woods' life will probably be, you know, wife took a golf club to the car and beat him up, or he crashed cars all the time. And it's so sad because that's not what his life was and that's not what his life is. He's going to the Cedar Sinai Medical Center for continuing orthopedic care and recovery. He was driving on Tuesday in Los Angeles on a road notorious for accidents when his SUV hit the center median, crossed into the opposing lane, struck a tree, and then rolled over several times. Oof. He has undergone surgery to repair significant orthopedic injuries to his lower right leg and ankle. And obviously, we wish Tiger Woods luck. And I hope he recovers really quickly. And I hope he's able to get back out there and start playing again soon. And you know, golf should be one of those games you can play for the whole of your life. So I hope that's the case for this guy. He certainly has done a huge amount for the game and has brought many people to the game that wouldn't otherwise have been golf fans. And for no other reason, that's good enough for me. So get better soon, Tiger Woods. Twitter has considered charging users for special content. This is interesting. You know, there's this Facebook Australia situation is going to change the game completely. It came up yesterday in the show. And I think Zuckerberg is getting a little bit nervous. And so obviously Jack Dorsey's getting nervous too. Twitter said on Thursday it plans to offer a subscription service in which users would pay for special content from high-profile accounts, part of an economic model to diversify its revenue. The globally popular social media platform announced the potential new Super Follows service at its annual investor meeting as it searches for new revenue streams beyond targeted advertising. Exploring audience funding opportunities like Super Follows will allow creators and publishers to be directly supported by their audience. So it's basically like Twitter could become like Patreon, you know, where if you're a fan or a follower of a particular person, then you can pay for their content. Now, that's all good, but I don't think that Twitter should be getting that money. They can't have advertising.
You think it should go to the person
who's doing the content?
Who is being followed.
Sure.
Right, okay.
But you know what? That's still not enough to make me want to do things on Twitter. So count me out. But they're obviously looking for ways to do this. And there's going to be a lot of change this year in social media, that's for sure. Biden and the Saudi king have got together. They had a little meeting. The White House said Biden and the 85-year-old king emphasized the country's security ties, that's Saudi Arabia and the U.S., and their commitment to help each other defend their territory as they faced attacks in Saudi Arabia from Iranian-aligned groups. Saudi Arabia has been bosom buddies with the United States for, 30, 40 years now. And despite the fact that all the 9/11 attackers came from Saudi, despite the fact that Saudi Arabia is the most backward country in the Middle East when it comes to women's rights, they are best friends with America. And the American establishment and Saudi Arabia are like two peas in a pod. They love each other. So, you know, this is not surprising. But Biden's people have said that he did discuss the killing of dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Do you remember when the guy was cut into pieces and put in a suitcase in Turkey? And Biden kept the king waiting in his long list of calls. when he finally reached out to the Saudis, it was pointedly to the king and not to the expected successor, Crown Prince Mohammed. The telephone diplomacy was all part of the White House's new reset in relations in the wake of Khashoggi's horrific 2018 murder inside the Saudi consulate in Turkey. A U.S. incident report in which Khashoggi was believed to have been killed and then chopped into pieces is being made public soon, the White House said. So, you know, he said, come on, man, you know, don't kill people, man. That's probably what he said during the call. Who knows?
That's an exact quote, say?
I'm fair. Insiders tell me, Sia, that that's exactly.
That makes the difference. That brings all the credibility.
Right. Did you see, talking about the U.S., did you see that they've given the vaccine to Ghislaine Maxwell got it in January?
She didn't.
So she got it. Listen to this. This is fantastic. All right. So,
hey, I haven't thought about her even as well in
a while. So Ghislaine Maxwell, O.J. Simpson, and Gary Glitter. Listen, and Gary Glitter have all received the vaccine. So guess who didn't get the vaccine?
Alleged.
Yeah, guess who didn't get the vaccine? Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. They didn't get the vaccine. You know why? Because they're dead. Because why?
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because why, Gary?
Oh, I don't know. If the glove does not fit, you must acquit. So O.J. fucking Simpson, he posted a picture on his social media of him. I'm getting the jab. The juice is getting the jab. He's wearing a mask that says the juice. So he clearly, this guy is hugely impressed with himself. This O.J. Simpson. So he got the jab, and Ghislaine Maxwell, who's nobody's favorite person, she got the jab. Now, I know for a fact that there are Americans, older Americans or Americans who've got immunocompromised health situations, people who've got, you know, conditions like diabetes and all that sort of thing. They've been waiting for this vaccine, and they've been waiting and waiting and waiting and hoping they'll get the vaccine because this is their moment to like get back their lives and stop panicking about this disease. Meanwhile, these three shitheads have all got the vaccine. Gary Glitter, who's the famous pedophile, this guy's been sent to jail three times for, you know, sex with minors. So he's a real class act. Mm. So him, Ghislaine Maxwell, who helped like source women for Jeff Epstein, and OJ.
Allegedly.
OJ, an alleged murderer. These three fucking people get, you know, they're going to get some vaccines, but ordinary Americans are like lining up. Imagine how irritated you would be.
Well, you see, this is when it gets closer to home and start being murkier waters when it becomes prisoners as well, as opposed to people out in public. And it's going to be the case, well, once South Africa even figures out a proper rollout, it's going to be the case here as well.
Yeah. Watch, it's going to start making people angry. But I can't,
huge thing.
Believe that they prioritized those three people. Seriously.
I don't think they were intentional with it. It's not as if they had the list of 44, however many millions of people in the US, and they thought, make sure they are in the top 100.
Supposedly COVID is what killed Larry King. That's been an update that we didn't get. So if COVID killed Larry King, if they let COVID take Larry King, but they've left us with OJ, Gary Glitter, and and Ghislaine Maxwell, that to me, they should have given Larry that vaccine, just in my opinion.
Well, Gareth, let's call a thing a thing here. If it wasn't going to be COVID that takes the great king, at least even like
it would have been
a
something.
Suspender that pops out and hits him in the forehead would have got him.
Yeah, it's probably about right.
Let's just be honest there.
100%. Anyway, all right, so we got lots of things on our agenda this morning, as you can tell. Speaking of prisoners, apparently prison inmates, this is a story that you actually told me about, Sia, prison inmates scored better matric results than the country average.
Yeah.
Isn't
that interesting?
So prisoners outperformed the average matric in South Africa. Sweet Lord.
It's not by this massive, massive percentage, but it still counts. The national pass rate was 76.2%.
Yeah.
Our prisoners who wrote behind bars got an average of 86.3%.
Yes.
That's like 10%, 10.1% better than what our matrics outside were getting.
What do you think of that?
I'm trying to keep a straight face here. I think it's good for them. But you know what? They are, this is horrible. They're doing this, they're under the same conditions. They were sitting in a cell.
Yes.
In their study halls.
Yes.
So they weren't really disrupted. Their lives weren't disrupted. Let's use that excuse. And I mean, you have nothing else to do except avoid getting shanked or going outside, being at the gym, study.
They've got quite a lot to worry about, prisoners. Like the fact that they, are incarcerated. But maybe it helps you to focus more. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot to worry about is the understatement of the morning. Yeah,
if prisoners are outperforming the general public in matric, maybe we should just lock up all our matrics in jail for a year and then we'll get better results out of them.
What? What?
Come on. I mean, I'm a solution oriented.
That's your one and only solution this morning.
Hey, it's a good idea. If we need better matric results, maybe that's something, if I were Minister of Education in this terrible government, maybe you got to look for answers. Angie Mocheka come out and go, well, we looked at these numbers and we've decided actually it's better if we just lock the matrics away. In prison for like a year and let them really focus on their studies.
I haven't gotten the full or total number of inmates who wrote matric behind bars last year. I just like to emphasize behind bars in this story because I feel like it adds to it. But the total number of distinctions was 76. And they also got 78 bachelor's passes. So, that's the minimum requirement for admission to a university.
Big ups the prison population. making us proud, obviously. Making us proud.
The best performing inmate was Lwazi Khamane, who is incarcerated who's incarcerated at the Usethubeni Youth Center in Durban. He obtained an average of 80.6%, and he bagged 4 distinctions in isiZulu, life orientation, history, and tourism. What they failed to mention is what he's behind bars for.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in. It's like, what's he in for? Aren't you more interested in that?
Yes, I would.
Lenise says, that way our potential next president will also come out of prison. Yes. Yes.
I guess so.
Yes, good thinking there from Lenise. You can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. Let us know what's up with you. Sorry,
here's a last impressive stat on this story. 5 out of 17 centers, these are jails that offer a matric to write. So 5 out of 17 centers achieved a 100% pass rate.
Yes. That's
impressive.
That's very good. Matric behind bar, making matric behind bars. I think that's a series that we can do. You know, like we did babies behind bars, now we can do matric behind bars.
Now, I know that, you know, the NSC is for the whole nation, and that is why inmates can write their matric. Can anyone also be admitted to a university if you're behind bars?
Mm.
Like, are there WITS pupils who are at Lyoko prison as we speak? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. I'm sure that, listen, I mean, if I were in prison, I'd want to study. It gives you something to do.
There's something to look forward to, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the perfect place in some ways. I mean, nothing's perfect about a South African prison. I wouldn't want to be in a South African prison. I've seen them when we've done shows from there on the inside, and it's not a happy place, I'll tell you that. But if you are in there, and you may as well use the time to get a degree or, you know, study something you're really interested in, because what else are you going to do with all that time? And that goes for people who are in lockdown as well, because technically we've all been imprisoned in our houses for the last year. And maybe it's maybe this is a good time for people to take up a course or study something. We've discussed this before, you know.
Do you get to update your LinkedIn profile from prison?
Don't know. I don't know what the social media policy is. I mean, supposedly you're not meant to have phones in prison, but I think a lot of prisoners do.
Well, of course.
You know, you're going to make friends with the guard, or you've got to be in the hierarchy somewhere. Or I don't even want to know. It's not the kind of place that I'm interested in. I'm not even curious about it. So if anybody knows that, maybe you can tell us.
Yeah, my dad used to counsel a former church member who was incarcerated, and it turned out he was wrongly imprisoned in any case. And he had a phone, though, of course, that he smuggled in. No, it was a thing to even think about. Where do you charge a phone in prison? Because you're meant to hide it. And how do you load airtime or data? There's no Wi-Fi in prison. But alas, he would often call us, and I was still young at this stage, like in primary school or something.
Yeah.
And I'd pick it up, and I knew his name, and he would like be so interested in finding out what I'm doing and how school is going. But then he'd often also say, just wait, hold on. And then be like, And then look, okay, happened in the background?
He was like part of your dad's congregation. Your dad was like counseling him.
Yeah, it was a bit of a screwed up story, because I think he got wrongfully imprisoned. Oh, and this is for rape and murder at the age of 18 and 19 years old. So you think, you know, your whole life changes when that happens. And his mother passed away while he was still behind bars. But, you know, for me, it will never be enough of a solace or compensation. But he got released, I think, like 10 years afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big thing in KZN. I remember there were even reports around it. And there was a financial settlement. But like your whole life, you've missed out on.
Yeah, you can't make that better with money. You can't give someone those years back. It's a waste.
But if it happens, of that. Try.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you know,
Departments of Correctional Services, don't stop trying. Just every month, just send some stuff to me.
So listen to this. This is probably one of the most interesting emails I've received, and I got it because we were talking with Damon on Wednesday about you know, domestic workers and kind of the way some people mistreat them and all the rest of it. So this came up from Anonymous. Anonymous says, morning. I love that you guys think you have the most clever listeners. Of course, we all are, even gardeners like me. I started listening to the show since last year, and I love everything about it. I'm even listening backwards when I've finished listening to the latest shows. In other words, old episodes. I listened to the podcast where you guys were discussing your relationship with your domestic workers and how people treat them. What do you think about a gardener who's employed to be the gardener? So this is obviously Anonymous is talking about themselves, right? So don't ever assume anything about the people who are listening to this show, because you don't know. We've got such a diverse audience that if you'd said to me, you know, are your target market going to include listeners who are gardeners and domestic workers? I said to you, probably not, but here you go. This is an email from one of them. And he says, as time goes by, my employer has started asking me to babysit a one-year-old. The employer keeps asking me every day. I leave for work to babysit for 30 minutes every 2 hours while the housewife sits on her phone and the helper or nanny is doing other stuff in the house. This gardener ends up being expected to babysit every day and gets in trouble if he doesn't and has to do all the work in the yard. This is just an insight of what some people go through every day. What do you think about that? I thought that was really interesting, and it sounds to me, obviously, because this person is asking for, you know, someone's opinion. In this case, it's our opinion, Sia. I think he's being abused. I think he should ask for more money, or he should have a sit down and say to his employer, hey, listen, you know, either I'm a babysitter or I'm a gardener, but I can't do both. And not for the same money that you were paying me as a gardener. Because babysitters, obviously, you know, get paid more because they have more important, so you know, ooh, the flower bed is untidy is not as big a deal as the baby is screaming. So you got to pay the guy more.
I hope the person's able to stand up for themselves in this situation.
I mean, if you know, if they've emailed a show, then I'm sure he's not the kind of guy who's just going to let it be. So go for it, dude. Ask for more money. At least say to, here's how you do it. You say to your employer, hey, listen, if you don't mind, can we just talk about the situation? Because I've taken on a lot of new responsibilities and I don't mind that, but then, you know, either you have to compensate me for that or we have to redefine what my job is actually about. I don't think that that's unreasonable, and you don't have to be super brave to do that. You just have to stand up for yourself and not be taken advantage of. Nobody deserves to be taken advantage of. But thanks for the email. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, or since I avoid, well, the situation isn't cool, yes. I'm passive aggressive and I avoid conflict, I would always just be preoccupied with something in the garden. Sorry, busy, hydrangeas are calling.
Yeah. Gotta
go.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's an easy situation to be in. Okay.
No, I'm joking. It's not.
Apparently, Sai says, do you get kicked out of the 26 gang once you pass matric? I don't know.
I haven't read the 26 code of conduct in a while. Sorry,
we've been out of that for a long time. So I saw William Keyser in the news yesterday, and he was talking about the rollout of vaccines. But it turns out he's got quite a lot of fires to put out. Because I'm just going to try and find the story quickly. His spokesperson. Okay. Is it possibly his spokesperson who's been fingered in some kind of dodgy dealings around... Oh. Here it is. Health Minister, this is from the Daily Maverick, Peter Louis Myberg, who's, you know, he's no slouch. Health Minister Zweden Kiese's longtime personal spokesperson and his former private secretary have pocketed COVID-19 cash worth 82 million rand in Department of Health contracts. Now, come on. I don't blame Zweliem Kiese for the money that's gone missing, because these people are obviously dodgy as hell who work for him. But I blame him for not being able to choose honest staff. You know, some of the blame has to fall on him. He's a very bad judge of character, at very least. Because I have said all along that I get the distinct impression that Zweliem Kiese, who we interviewed before he became Minister of Health, when he was still Treasurer General of the ANC, was prior to the last election. And I found him to be a very smart, very, very competent, very capable guy whose heart's in the right place. And I mean, so what? You know, that's just my first impression. It doesn't mean I'm correct. But the fact that he hires people who pocket 82 million rand, when we all know how dodgy this whole tender process has been during the PPE scandals and everything else. We know about the president's spokesperson. It seems spokespeople are on the take. If you consider the president's spokesperson, now the health minister's spokesperson, you know, we better be checking on all the other spokespeople.
I don't often defend politicians, but Gareth, I think you're being a little too harsh. If I go out and I murder 8 people, that has nothing to do with you and what we did at work.
Yes, good point. No, because you don't want people to think that we planned those murders. Oh, shit, I wasn't meant to say that.
You know, it's the most... yes, 82 million is a lot, and it's money that was taken and shouldn't have been.
You think it's not his fault and he can't be blamed?
Yeah, no, man.
It's at least embarrassing.
Yeah, it's not a good look, definitely.
It's like,
but on top of that, what makes me more ill in this story is the fact that this spokesperson and someone there relates to a friend or something thought they were being cool with their company name. They called it Digital Vibes.
Oh, really?
That's what it's called.
Digital Vibe.
Digital Vibe.
82 million.
Based in KZN.
82. Do you know what we could have done with Cliff Central if we'd had an injection at 82 million rand at the start of this business? Oh my God, would we be a juggernaut now? I mean, really incredible. Just like, that's incredible money. Anyway, what's done is done. So I'm just reminding you that spokespeople can be dodgy. It's time. It's 7 o'clock, 7:03, and we've got plenty to come in the next hour. We've got Anthea popping in. We've got George Meany popping in. It's Friday, and I don't know what's happened to Leanne Moll. So hopefully she's all right, but we'll check in with the rest of the crew and find out how your Friday is likely to proceed next. CliffCentral.com.